everything is by His grace. Every morning we wake up. Amen. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future. Just because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, and life is worth the living just because He lives. God sent His Son, we called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. Face tomorrow because constantly. Our fear is gone, because I know, yes, I know, He holds my future.
Shining Jesus, I know.
worshiping you. Like we sing in these songs of Zion, you are living God, O Lord. We are serving you. We want to worship you, O Lord. We want to bring honor and glory to your name, even this evening, O Lord. Not looking left or right, O Lord, that somebody is here, somebody is not here, O Lord. We want to focus on you, like that song says, just forget about yourself, concentrate on him, O Lord. We want to lift our eyes on you, O Lord. This evening we want to ask inspiration for our pastor, O Lord, who is preparing for service, O Lord. Let's give him inspiration, word of life for my soul this evening, for my brothers, for my sisters, O Lord. We commit these things into your hands, whatever will be said and done. May that be for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. We ask, O Lord, cover us with your blood, O Lord. Forgive our sins, trespasses, O Lord. Clear even our thoughts, everything, O Lord. We want to be settled under your presence, O Lord, because our peace is there at your feet. O Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 It's a little bit better without the instrument. Just one thing to do. Amen. Amen. Brother can find that song, Deeper, Deeper in the Love of Jesus. Amen. That's what we need even this evening, to be in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Deeper in the love of Jesus. That's deeper in Christ. Amen. A.K.A. Deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go.
And I pray. And I
blessed Lord, in thy precious holy name. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide in thee. Lord, come and lifted up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Paul and Silas, and then blessed his name, brother and sister, and their cups, they've been filled up in special way, different way than maybe this evening. Let's praise his name. He can do in his own way to fill it your cup. Amen. This evening in prisoner's chair with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray at night, and in their head began to sing, their chains fell off, and they were free. I bless your name. His name this evening, amen. You hold on, I give you praise. You are the light that showed the way. I bless your name.
Good to bless. place his name. Testing 1, 2, 3. It's okay, yeah?
God bless saints. It's good to come in the middle of the week to bless his name, to fellowship around the word. Let's open our Bibles, Genesis chapter 49. God bless you this evening. It's good to get a recharge. You know, your phone sometimes it doesn't last the full day, and you need to plug it in during the day.
Amen.
Don't you feel like that in your life? I feel like that many times. By the time it gets to Wednesday, you're wanting a recharge. Now, you're wanting just to get that something to boost you again, so that you can stay in that divine channel until you come to the end of the week. Genesis 49, let's read from 22 up to 26. This is Joseph's blessing. That's our topic, Joseph's blessing. Genesis 49, 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings of your word. But Father, we do not want them to remain blessings in your word. We want to see your blessings in our lives. Father, so may you help us this night. As we meditate on these things, help us, Lord, to move beyond college now, to move beyond work, to move beyond our job searches, to move beyond domestic affairs. Father, to set our affections on eternal things once again. And Father, may you visit us, Lord, in the inner man. May you allow us, Lord, to come unto the Shekinah once again upon this night. Lord, that you would put strength in us and do to us upon this night what you would desire. Pray for Brother Max, Lord. Sister Angel, bless them on their journey. Keep them safe, Lord. We pray, bring them safely back. And Lord, all of your people, anybody that would be watching tonight, Lord, we pray you bless them. And bless, Father, our fellowship together in this place. Thank you for song worship. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a chance to come in the midst of this week. Now, Lord, have the preeminence, have your own way. Let your will be done in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. So we've got to take our topic just for a short while tonight on Joseph's blessing. You know, we were speaking on the weekend about the other sons, and we never got to Joseph. But the powerful thing that you find when you read Jacob, you know, if you go and read Genesis chapter 47, you'll find Jacob, he comes up and he's in Canaan now. He's 130 years old. He comes and he meets Joseph. Now, always, whenever you watch it, even if you watch it on the children's cartoons, you watch it anywhere, you read it in the Bible, you find that is a mighty, mighty powerful place to me in the scripture. There's two places that I really so much love. They almost get me every time. And the first one, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and the second one, when Joseph meets his father. Now, you can imagine what it must have been like for Joseph and his father. They were separate for more than 20 years, about 22 years. And this was his most beloved son. And all of a sudden, he hears that his son has been put to death, and he's going to go down to the grave weeping, the Bible says. He was so sorrowful. And then he sends his son down, all the misfortune comes, and then his sons come back, Joseph having dealt with them to bring the truth out of them and to bring them to the right place. And then they come back and say, Joseph is still alive. Amen. Now that must have been such an outstanding thing. Amen. And then Jacob, he says, I'll see my son again. And I can imagine now when Jacob's coming down, and he's coming with his sons, and then the news comes to Joseph in the palace or wherever he is as the prime minister and says, your father's coming. Yeah, we have the nest one where you find the family entertainment, the cartoon, and you see Joseph, he comes on his horse to the top of this hill, and he sees Jacob down there. Jacob puts up his hand. Yeah, it's such like a touching thing. And then Joseph goes and embraces his father. And his father, having thought that it was the end of his days, he was 130 years old, he lives for another 17 years. And living in the fatness of the land, living in Goshen, the abundance of the land of Ramesses, all because of Joseph. That they're living in this place. And then it comes now, he's getting old. He starts sensing inside of himself, Jacob, that, you know, this illness that he's got, whatever it is, his body is giving way. Now he's coming to the end of his life. So what does he do? He calls first time for Joseph in Genesis 47. He says, my son, now the time for me to go the way of all flesh has come. Now, but make a promise to me. Put your hand under my thigh that you'll promise you won't bury me in this land. And then Joseph says, no, I'll do exactly what you desire. Then he says, no, I want you to swear to me that you won't bury me in this land, but you'll bury me in the place of my father's sepulchres. That you'll take me from Egypt and bury me in the place of the resurrection. Bury me in the promise. That's where I want to be. So Joseph Dyer goes back around his business again. And then the second time the call comes to him, Genesis 48, to come and see his father again, because his father is old. And he comes in, and Jacob's lying there. You know, he's really old. He's 147 years old. He's feeble. And here comes Joseph, comes inside, and he brings his two boys. He brings Ephraim and Manasseh with him. And then Jacob rouses himself, and the quickening power comes on him again. And he has these two boys, and he says, who are these? And he says, they're my two sons, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he says, bring the boys near me. I want to bless them. And then Jacob puts his hands, and we know how he crosses his hands. And the blessing goes on the younger son. And he blesses those two boys. And then he goes back and he lies in his bed again. And Joseph goes around. And the final time now that he summons with all of the brothers. Because it's the end of Jacob's life. You know, it's time for him to pass away. And they come inside. Maybe he's so feeble, you know, so weak. He can hardly eat. He can hardly drink. But the moment that his sons gather to him, him being a prophet, subject to that quickening power of a prophet, the quickening power comes upon him and he rouses himself out of his bed. And he now prophesies over his 12 sons. He now tells them what will happen to them from that time forth, right until the latter days. And then as soon as he prophesies over them, it says Jacob gathered up his feet into his bed and he died. Now imagine dying like that. Imagine the last thing that you did was the Lord so quickened you that you entered into that realm of prophecy, that channel, and you prophesied over your children. And you died with that anointing upon you. Friends, that's the way that you want to die. Now, you don't want to be one of those kinds of people who say, please, call for my wife. You know, there's things I need to make right. You don't want it to be like that at the end of your life. You want it to be going out in victory like Jacob did. You read those last few chapters of Genesis, friends. This man, sometimes before he used to murmur and complain and say, all these things are against me. And, you know, you thought the Lord wasn't treating him well. But in those last years of his life, those were golden years. He really so much appreciated the goodness of the Lord. And when he died really in the faith. He died in the fullness of the blessing. He had no sorrows anymore. He had come to the end of his course now. And he had seen things that he never imagined to see. He had seen his son now being, you know, the prime minister of Egypt. And he had lived in the fatness of the land. So it was a powerful thing. But when you read now of him blessing each of these sons, many of them, he just gives them one verse. He'll just say a little bit about, you know, Benjamin's a ravening wolf. I think he gives him two verses. He says Gad. He speaks a little bit about Asher. And he says about Zebulun, a few things. But there's two of the sons that as soon as those sons come before him, or he looks upon them, the anointing comes upon him in a deep way. And that was Judah and Joseph. And you'll see Judah now because he got the scepter. He got the leadership. The Messiah is going to come through Judah. And then it comes upon him when now he comes to Joseph. And Joseph, I think, is almost the last of the sons that he blesses. And the blessing that comes upon Joseph is so great compared to the blessing that's given to most of the rest of the sons. And friend, if you go back, like we were saying it on Sunday, when you see great blessing coming upon a person, there's a reason that great blessing came upon that person. Because God is no respecter of people. No, God doesn't respect one person to just bless them, you know, willy-nilly above another person. But you find Joseph was such a character, such a type of Christ. We know that the blessing, that Jacob, the moment he started to speak, about Joseph, it's like the floodgates just open. And you find that Jacob inside of himself, there's so many things that he loves about his son. You know, he's such a beloved son. So he has this desire inside of his heart to bless his son for who his son is and all the things that his son has gone through and what his son has been. And then Jacob breaking into that with this earnest desire burning inside of him to bless his son, Jacob, Joseph, he finds exactly at that time the prophetic channel opens up and he finds God has the same desire as him. That God is looking upon Joseph the same way that Jacob is looking upon Joseph. Amen. Friend, that would be a great blessing if we could have an earnest desire of our children to bless them. Amen. And at the same time, the Lord would be saying, that's my desire as well. And those two things come together. Friend, the blessing of a father like that, when you enter into a prophetic realm, that it's not just you, but it's a quickening power of the Holy Ghost, quickening you to bless something. Jesus said, that which you bless is blessed. Yeah, that which you curse is cursed. You know, and that's ready when you're moving in that kind of a place that Jacob was moving in. So he now starts to bless, and he blesses Judah. And he tells him about the different things that are going to take place inside of his life. And how the scepter shall not depart from Israel until Shiloh, the Messiah, shall come. There's a lot of prophecy inside of there. If you read that one in Genesis 49, we won't get into Judah. But he says in verse 8, he says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Yeah, Judah means praise. So he was playing on his name. And out of all the tribes, Judah really became the dominant one. And David came from Judah. And you find so much of the prophecy was fulfilled in type of all the things that he prophesied in David. And then there was the son of David. It was the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you've got to expect it's going to come some great conquering and blessing and possessing of the inheritance being prophesied over Judah. And that's exactly what he calls him. He says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be upon the neck of thine enemies. You know what it was like to put your hand on the neck of the enemies when you wrestled with an enemy? Then you wrestled him down to the ground, then you put your hand on his neck. That means you had him completely defeated. So he's saying, Judah, you're going to have full dominion over your enemies. That David was the one now who took the fullness of the land to put Moab under subjection, put the Ammonites under subjection, and then handed it all over to his son Solomon. So, and then came the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the real one who possessed the gate of the enemy. He's the one who really put his hand upon the neck of the enemy. You know, so he's really in the spirit of prophecy when he's prophesying these things. And he says, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. You know, so you can see he's going to have the preeminence. He's going to have the rulership now. You know, the birthright's taken from Reuben, and it's been broken into three pieces now. The first part of the birthright, the scepter, the leadership, is being given to Judah. The second part, which is now like the natural inheritance, the double portion, is going to be given to Joseph. We'll see that. And then the final portion, the priesthood, is later going to be given to Levi. So now it's been put upon three tribes now, the blessing which Reuben could have had for himself. If it had just controlled his passion and controlled himself and lived the kind of life like Joseph lived. Because any of these sons could have lived the life that Joseph lived. Now, any of us can live an overcoming Christian life if we desire to do it. If you go about it lawfully, if you do it the Lord's provided way. Now, so he blesses, and then he says in verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp, you know, a small lion. From the prey, my son, thou hast gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Remember Brother Eli preaching about that, about the different stages until the lion becomes mature. Now, so he's showing that. And then it says in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And you'll find that Samson was of the tribe. He was a lawgiver. You know, there's different ones like that. But it says, the scepter shall not depart. And you know, the Jews in their writings, what they say. When it came to the stage of the Romans, just around the time of Jesus, the Romans took away the authority and the power from the Sanhedrin council to be able to put people to death. Remember that, to deliver them over to the Romans. What happened to the Sanhedrin council, Josephus says, is they rent their garments and they said, woe unto us, the scepter has departed from Judah and Shiloh hasn't come. not realizing that Shiloh had come. It was Jesus. But Judah never had now the scepter. The scepter now belonged to Rome. He was under subjection and he never got the scepter back again. But the prophecy had said the scepter, the rulership, the rod of rulership, will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Who's Christ? It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. So you can really see that Jacob here is in the spirit of prophecy. And he continues on. But then he gets to Joseph. Verse 22. He says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. My, that's Psalm 1. Yeah. Let's read Psalm 1, just to show what a fruitful bough is. We want to see the source here of his strength, the source of this blessing. For man to be blessed like Joseph was. Look what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You say, so Joseph was this kind of a guy, we'll see, this kind of a man. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. One sure way of robbing yourself of the blessing, get on the internet and go and look at this, the websites of the scornful. Amen. Those are scorners of the message. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And it says there in verse 1, it says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where we lose our spiritual blessing, our vision, our purpose. Get out of the divine channel. Many times, because we listen to the counsel of unbelievers. We listen to the counsel of people that are not in the prophetic channel, not anointed by the anointing of the eagle. We got our uncles and aunts, and maybe they're good people, might even be denominational people, but they're not anointed with the anointing of the eagle. It's good to respect them, friends, but on the important decisions in life, of your walk with God and issues of marriage, and where should you live, where should you work, where should you go, those are not things that should be entrusted into anybody else's hands. They should stay under the anointing of the eagle. That's where you should get your counsel from. It's from under the anointing of the eagle, under the wings of the great cherubim of the age. It's where you're going to find the Shekinah glory. So it says that. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, if you stand in the way of sinners for too long, you know, there's a saying, they say, if you lie down next to a dog with fleas, you'll wake up in the morning with fleas. And it's just a natural kind of a thing. You spend too much time with people that swear, with people that blaspheme, with people that are irreverent, ungodly, you know, people who say all manner of things that are not right, and be very careful because that influence will come upon you. And then you will find you starting to say things wrong. Your attitude starting to change. And you wonder, where's this change of attitude coming from? It comes from somewhere, friends. Influence comes from somewhere. You've allowed yourself to be influenced. You've spent too much time standing in the way of sinners. You know, if you're at work and guys go to the canteen and they want to speak all about this and that and the other, I always excuse myself. Yeah, but I really appreciate the people who have been there for some time because I don't speak those things when I'm there. But when you find there's new people there and they're sitting in the other desk and they wanted to speak all these things about sex and they wanted to open up the newspapers to page 3 and all those kind of things. My friend, if you wanted to guard the spiritual blessing inside of your life, you know, don't stand in the way of sinners. That's where God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. Amen. Separate yourself from those kind of things. Fellowship on things that keep you in the blessing. Fellowship on things that feed the flame, that feed the anointing inside of your life. Fellowship with people that help you in your calling. Fellowship with people that when you fellowship with them, the vision is more clear. The desire inside of your heart to press on. You know, it's more fervent than it was before you started fellowshipping with those people. Friend, those are the most precious gifts God can give you outside of marriage, is real godly friends. Abraham says those real godly friends that you can sit down with like an old oak tree and speak of your problems, and they won't judge you, but they'll just pray with you. Amen. No, those people you can sit down and just say, look, brother, things aren't really going well. And the person's not there to give you, you know, the top 50 steps to success and give you 100 things of advice, but they're just a good listening ear. Someone that you can just speak to and talk it over, and they can just sit there and understand, and you just come away from a place like that feeling so much better. Yeah, and it's a real secret inside of your life. But it says in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You do that. Stay away from the ungodly influence. Stay away from those things that grieve the anointing of you. Stay away from the thing that genders doubt and foolish questions, like Paul says, inside of your life. Stay away from those things. But you can't just empty yourself out and stay empty. No, you empty yourself out from all the unbelief. Now you need to fill yourself up with something on the other side. That's why he's saying his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Friend, these are the ways to be blessed. Such a man will be blessed, because the very first word in Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. This is the way of blessing. And it says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Like we always say, the prophet says, that's fellowship. You know, leaves type fellowship. You want fellowship or not? You don't get to a stage where, I don't want to fellowship with people anymore. When you've been fellowshipping and drawing strength, communion, your roots are going deep down, because you planted by the rivers of water. Amen. And you're drawing from that, you know, that resource that never runs dry. You're always going to bring forth fruit inside of your life. You're always going to have leaves that are green wanting to fellowship. You know, as long as you're drawing, all that tree has to do is keep drinking it in. Drinking it in. This is a tree that's not planted out there in an arid area like in Zimbabwe, where you have rain only for 6 months of the year. We have 4 or 5 months of the year, and the rest of the year it's dry. And the tree has to struggle now through the winter, and it gets dry and the grass is dry. But this is a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You know, it's always got access to this resource. Always has it. It says, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Friend, that is really speaking about the life of Joseph. No matter where the man was, he was a blessing. No matter what he did, he was a blessing. No matter what he set his hand to, God prospered the things that he was doing, because he lived in the channel of blessing. That he knew the divine laws of blessing, and he walked in that realm. Now, back to chapter 49, speaking about Joseph. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough. What did Jesus say about us? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, so that's where the fruit comes from. It comes from abiding in the vine. Now, the secret of fruitfulness is nothing else except for abiding in the vine. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. No, it's that abiding there. And you'll find this was a characteristic of Joseph. Reuben was unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Joseph was exactly the opposite. Joseph was consistent. It didn't matter when things were going well or when things were going bad. Didn't matter when he was with his family or when he was in the prison. Doesn't matter when people were lying about him. Potiphar's wife was, you know, slandering his reputation, and people were, you know, falsely accusing him. He was consistent in his worship. You know, he was a consistent guy. Why? Because he had his roots planted. Look what it says about him in the next part of the verse. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. That was his secret. He had discovered the well of living waters. He had discovered, he himself knew he had access unto this well that never runs dry. When Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. When she was speaking about Jacob's well, and he says, no, it's not this kind of water that I'm speaking to you about. But I'm speaking to you of a water that if you drink of this water, you will never be thirsty again. And then she said, give me of this water. And then he had to reveal himself to her. But that was the secret of Joseph. He abode in that place. Now, his roots went deep enough until it struck the source, now, which was those waters by the well. Now, the deeper your roots can go, friend, until you yourself can strike the source yourself. That's fine when other people have to come. Now, many believers are like the plant, and they, on a Sunday, you know, somebody has to come with the water, then come with the watering can and water somebody on a Sunday, and they're hoping that, hey, I hope this water lasts me till the end of the week. Yeah. And then you find the winds of persecution come, the hot wind starts to blow, it gets Tuesday, Wednesday, and you find that water hasn't, there's not sufficient water. You can't rely on other people to watch you all the time. Your roots have to find access to the source. Because Joseph was a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by the well. Yeah, so there was a well of water there, and he has a tree planted. My friend, that tree there knows there's water here somewhere. But it has to dig down to get to that resource. And once it gets its roots inside of that resource, that's the kind of believer you want to be. You want to be well rooted in Christ. You want your roots to have gone deep enough to tap right into that water table down there. Right into that layer down there that you yourself can draw from those resources. You wonder how Joseph could go through so much more than all of his brothers combined. This was the secret here.
Amen.
His roots went right down into the waters of the well. The same well that was waters coming out of the well, those roots went and found that same source. And Joseph, now he was rooted right in that source. He lived ever by the well, this tree. Now, don't ever get far away from the well as a believer. Now we sing the song, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power and sweet is the taste. Whenever temptation and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Have you not come here tonight to come to the well? I'm sure you haven't come here just to sit in the church and get home and be tired tomorrow. You don't want it to be like that. No, that inside of your soul, inside of my soul, we wanted to come back to the well. In our worship, when we were singing, we were coming unto the well. Now we were speaking to the rock that he would send forth his waters. And now when you come to the preaching of the word opens the door. It's the key that can open the door to the well for you. If you haven't been in the well, through the preaching of the word, it can open a channel once again for you. That if you just yield to that inspiration that strikes you and follow now those principles, it'll lead you straight back to the well once again. And you'll be able to draw now those resources that you need to overcome whatever situation that you're in. So it says that Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Friend, this is a tree that because it's by the well, now you plant your tree and you say, okay, I'm going to put it in my garden. And friend, that tree now it strikes the source. It strikes that rich, mineral-rich water. What's going to happen? Your next door neighbor is going to benefit from your tree as well. Because that tree grows so well and so strong and so consistent that its branches go over the wall. And it's not only you that now comes out your apple tree to eat of the fruits of that tree, but other people you never even expected will eat of that tree as well.
Amen.
Friend, that's exactly the life of Joseph. Look at Joseph. Was it just his mother and father and maybe a few brothers who benefited from the ministry of Joseph? It wasn't. It was the Egyptians who benefited. He was a fruitful bough, and the branches went right over the wall into Egypt. From Egypt, it went over the wall into Canaan. From Canaan, it went right into all the nations round and about. And the people came from the north, south, east, and west during the days of famine, seeking for salvation in a natural sense, seeking for sustenance, seeking for the bread of life, the staff of life that they needed. And it was Joseph, because his roots went right down, and he was drawing now from those resources. Now he could push himself out. And his influence and his blessing didn't just remain in a single place, but it started expressing itself deeper and further. And surely that should be our desire as believers. You know, that you don't want your influence just to, you know, stay with yourself, but let your branches go over the wall as well. Let others benefit from the leaves, the shade, the fellowship. Let others benefit from the fruit. And surely as a church, that's our desire as well. We thank the Lord that the branch has gone over the wall to Carlo. Yeah, and we're thankful that the branch is going over, Brother Eddie's going up to Athlone. No, and you find, let it continue on. But the key to it all is we've got to be well rooted and continue drawing from the same source of strength and blessing that Joseph drew from, so that he could just stay consistent and make it through, no matter what trials that he had to go through, no matter his separation from his brethren, no matter his disappointments, no matter how long sometimes it seemed the promise was going to take before his, you know, the visions of his youth came to pass. But whenever he ran out of strength himself, his resources were coming to an end as a natural person, what would happen? He would just let his roots go down deep and just draw the resources again. And that's why he could do the things that he did. It wasn't his own strength that did those things. Now, whenever you find there's a fruitful bough, yeah? Whenever you find the influence is starting to go over the wall, what's the next thing you expect? It's going to draw the attention of the enemy. Because the devil doesn't like a person like that. He doesn't like a believer like that. So the next verse says, the archers, verse 23, have sorely grieved him. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Friend, that is where people think, like the prophet says, coming to the Lord is not a picnic. Yeah, it's a battle. The moment that you start bringing forth fruit inside of your life, the moment you start drawing from that well of everlasting water, you draw the attention of the devil straight away. And sometimes the attack can come from the most unlikely of sources. You know, Joseph never thought that the attack was first going to come from his own brothers, that he was going to be hated by his brothers. And like we said before, the great balance that the Lord always has, he was loved of his father, the prophet says. So in order to balance that out so that he didn't get proud and puffed up, he has to be hated of his brothers. You know, there's always a balance like that. And you find in a life like Joseph, where there's such a blessing, and he inherits such a blessing, there's going to be a lot of affliction, there's going to be a lot of trial, there's going to be a lot of temptation inside of a person's life like that. Because that's just the way that it is. You know, if you're just a person that's the minimum blessing, you just want to make it through to the end of Laodicea with as little damage as you possibly can make inside of your life, you know, well, you're not going to have too much coming against you. But if you decide to be an overcomer, if you decide to say, Lord, let me really, really run the race and finish the course, let me do the work that I'm ordained to do, and you set your affection upon that, my friend, I guarantee you many things are going to break your heart. There's going to be many things you're going to hear, many things you're going to experience, many things you're going to see, many things you never expected are going to happen in your life, just like with Joseph, because there's archers out there. You know, and they've got malice and they've got revenge inside of them. They've got, you know, all the different poisons that Satan can put in the heart of somebody. And what were the things that Joseph really had to go through? There were quite a number of them. The first thing he had to go through, the first archers, the first ones that shot at him were his brothers. Now, when they would speak against him and call him a dreamer and mock him and all the things they said when he was young, that was hard for a young man. Yeah. And then it goes beyond that. And then now they take him and strip him and cast him into the pit. And then they take him on and sell him for the price of a slave, 20 pieces of silver. And send him off down to Egypt. That was hard. Not to many people, friends, in this age that we're living, they would give up on God. On YouTube, I saw something on the homepage a while back. It was this woman sitting there, and she says, I was a pastor of a mega church, now I'm an atheist. And I said, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Let me go and watch. And it was, you know why she became an atheist, her and her husband? Because she was the pastor of a big mega church. Firstly, she should never have been a pastor because she's a woman. But then secondly, she was barren. She couldn't have children. And she prayed, her and her husband, for 10 years. And in the end, because they say God didn't answer them for, you know, the barrenness, they became infidels. I said, what? I said, so is our Christianity based on the fact that God has to give us exactly what's number one on the shopping list? That's not worship. Real worship is when you, like Abraham, 25 years, you're waiting for the promise, and the Bible says he never got weaker, but he got stronger. Yeah? He was like Joseph. He had found his roots, had found the source. So while he was waiting, the Lord came and said to him, what? I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty God. I'm the breasted God. I'm the source of the strength that you need to be satisfied while you wait for the promise. Come and nurse from me. And the prophet says, two breasts, the left, the Old and the New Testament. To us as believers, we come and we nurse strength from the milk of the word. You know, we're drawing strength from El Shaddai. Once you find that source, it doesn't matter how long the promise takes. Because whenever your faith starts to falter, whenever you start to weaken, just go back to the source again. Just go back to the Almighty God, to El Shaddai. Just go nurse new strength from Him once again. And then like the little child fretting, wah, 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 because, you know, it's not feeling good, its stomach is feeling sore, then the mother puts it on the breast. And then it starts to nurse strength from the mother. And just being so close to the mother, you know, that contact, that skin on skin, whatever it is, and, you know, just the mother's love, and, you know, the baby and the love for the mother, as it starts to nurse, you find that, it stops fretting. And after a while, there it is, just lying peacefully, and maybe it goes to sleep. And that's exactly what the prophet says El Shaddai is. That we should be like that, to find our rest in Him. That when we're fretting and wondering and worrying and not feeling good inside of our Christian experience, come back to the source, nurse strength from Him once again, and be satisfied. And you can see that in the life of Joseph. And whenever these disappointments would come, that could easily overcome 99% of Christians in our age. You know, disappointments. Hey, my brothers, look how they treated me in church. They stripped me of my garment. They spoke evil of me. They threw me out. I'm not going to worship God anymore. Friend, Joseph, he saw, no. Hey, I don't know what's happening here. But one thing I know, I need to get back to the source. I need to draw strength from Him once again. And the prophet says, whenever that tree is shaken, what does it do? It loosens the ground around the roots. So that once the storm is over, that roots are able to go deeper now and take a firmer hold down below there. And that's why a genuine believer becomes stronger with time. Your faith becomes stronger, becomes more mature. At first, we're very emotional people, most of us. You know, we're run by feelings. Like we said, when we were young and we used to go and pray in the forest, if you didn't come back sweating, you didn't feel like you had prayed, you know. If you didn't shout and scream and do some physical exercise, by the time you came back from there, you didn't feel like you had prayed. And then, like I say, then you go and you listen to the prophet in the prayer lines. Then you find the prophet just saying, Satan, come out of him. Hey, and great things are taking place. People are receiving their sight. Demons are being cast out. Then you start finding, but so it's not so much in the volume or the activity that you're putting in prayer. That's not the secret of prayer. That's why the prophet says it's like the man is wanting to swim. You know, that little boy wanting to swim across the pool. He jumps into the pool. At first, he just makes a lot of splashing if you don't know how to swim. You know, it's just like you make so much splashing, 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 but you don't go very fast. But you find someone who's mature, who knows what to do. They just dive in and they glide. And just one or two strokes. And they're at the other side. Same water, same people. But what is it? One has learned how to do it. One has learned the principles of how to do it. To yield and to follow those principles. And that's what Joseph was doing as he went through these troubles. Who else shot the arrows at him? Who else sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him? What were the darts in Potiphar's house? Temptation. Those fiery darts of temptation. When for those days Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, come and lie with me. Friend, you're a young man like that, 20 whatever years old. That's not an easy temptation, that. But how would Joseph overcome that? He'd go back to the source. When he would feel himself as a man, just as much as Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us, when Joseph would feel tempted, he'd go back to the source and draw strength to say, me and my own strength, I cannot overcome this. I need your strength to help me to overcome. And he would draw from the everlasting arms. He would draw the strength that he required. And that's how he'd be able to conquer and overcome those fiery darts. What about the fiery darts of accusation, false accusation? Imagine if you heard tomorrow at work. It happened to one brother that we were with, our good brother Malambo, who's now passed away in Zimbabwe. He was falsely accused of stealing money in Zimbabwe from Forestry Commission. He was the most faithful brother, the sweetest brother you could know. He was a manager of Forestry Commission in Grid. They accused him of stealing money. He got suspended, got fired in the end from his job. The police believed that he had stolen it because the other members of staff had set him up. Friend, it was a hard time. He got right down to the stage. He didn't have any money. Yeah? He had to walk from Nkoba all the way to town to come. He had to walk past Brother George. I'm telling you absolutely this truth. It was so hard. But friend, in the end, God vindicated the man. That the man was innocent, but his name was dirt in the whole city. It's like Joseph, falsely accused of trying to rape a woman, his master's wife. And he's not guilty. Maybe he was thinking, surely the Lord's gonna do something. It's not gonna allow my name to be defamed like this after the way that I've been serving him and after the principles that I've been following. And then you find it in 8 o'clock news, in the courts today in Cairo, whatever it was. Yeah. Court case was held. Infamy. Yeah. Joseph of Canaan found guilty, trying to rape Potiphar's wife. And the young man sitting there like brother babes, saying, but hey, I've been found guilty. How come God allowed me to be found guilty? I can't believe it. Then you find yourself in prison. And it wasn't an easy prison. Psalm 105 says that they hurt his feet with fetters. His legs, it was sore. You know, those chains, those bands they put around your legs as a prisoner. It was hard in that prison. But my friend Joseph knew where the source was. So while he was there, he went back to the source. And the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Hallelujah.
And that makes all the difference. The Lord was with Joseph. What about when he's exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh? You're telling me in those years when he was the prime minister, you know how it is in the courts, in the politics. You're telling me there weren't a lot of false accusations made. Do you think people wanted a Canaanite to be in charge like that? Or in those other officials in the court, those other ones who always want to be the big guy. There must have been a lot of things that Joseph had to go through that the Bible doesn't record. But it tells us one thing. He was a fruitful bough, a bough planted by the well. That's where it came from. But these archers shot at him. Now it gives us now the secret in verse 24. It says, but his bow abode in strength. He never lost his strength as a believer. So they were shooting at him. They had their weapons. They were lying about him. They were trying to tempt him. He also had a bow. He could also have shot back at him the same way. But he didn't.
Amen.
And for that was perfection in Joseph.
Hallelujah.
That was the character of Christ inside of the man. That he never, how does it say, you know, to render evil for good for you. He rendered good for evil, not evil for evil. Remember once before we looked at it, that the Bible says for us to overcome lies, for us to overcome all these, the hatred of people, we only have one thing the Bible tells us to use. It says overcome evil with good.
Amen.
And Joseph, he could have done that. He could have shot his arrows back. He could have tried to do this, do that, and do the other. But friend, the character of the man and his roots were so well rooted in the source himself. He committed all judgment to God. And he rendered good for evil, not evil for evil. And he found out that the most effective way to overcome what anger is, soft words.
Amen.
A soft answer turns away wrath.
Amen.
You know, all those different things, simple principles you find inside of the Bible. It's only when you really draw in from the source in a reality in your Christian experience that the Lord is real to you. That his presence is real inside of your life, that you're able to do those things. Otherwise, you find that guy cuts in front of you in the traffic. My friend, you'll be hooting at that guy and shouting just like the guy next to you. It's so easy to do. But when you're in the spirit, you don't do that. There's something that restrains that. And it's not you. It's the Holy Ghost in you. It's the great, great Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you. That's why it says, but his bow abode in strength. Now that it gives us the secret. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Ah, friend, there's no way he, in his own strength, could have endured and gone through all the things that he did. He could never fight the spiritual warfare that he had to fight and overcome in by himself. So Jacob, when he gets in the spirit, he sees it. Here he sees Joseph now in battle. And then he sees now the invisible one, the great mighty God of Jacob, the same God that Jacob knew, the God of his strength, the God who had allowed him to overcome. He sees in the spiritual realm. He sees whenever Joseph is there needing to fight, here comes. It's like you would do with your little boy. And when he's not able to hold the bow properly himself, you go and put your hands on his hands and you take it and you do it for him. and he take back the bow and he show him how to shoot. That's what the Lord was doing for Joseph. It was the arms of the great and mighty God of Jacob who was strengthening the hands of the arms of Joseph. Remember the prophet speaking about Samson with the jawbone of the mule. He says when he had that Nazarite blessing upon him, whenever he struck, when his hand struck, the prophet says, the hand of God struck with him. That's why he could do things. He could take the old jawbone of a mule and he could dent those helmets half an inch thick. It wasn't a natural thing that was taking place, friends. It wasn't just Samson's hand that was striking. But because he was in the channel, because he was in his commission, his hand also was made strong by the mighty hand of Jacob. What about the prophet taking the people by the hand? What caused the commotion and even his watch to stop? It wasn't the prophet himself. It was the anointing upon the prophet. When that spirit would come in contact with that anointing upon the prophet, which was because of the commission that he held, when he took those people by the hand, my friend, it wasn't just the prophet's hands that was there. There was the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. It was that hand that made all the difference and that enabled those testimonies and the great reputation until the prophet. He became such a fruitful bow that it went over the wall into Congo and went over the wall into Zimbabwe and went over the wall into Lithuania and Russia and went over the wall into Slovakia and Serbia. Friend, because the prophet also knew where his strength was. He was rooted and he was grounded in Christ. He was drawing resources from the Holy Ghost, the anointing of this age. That's where he was getting his strength from. And that's why it says it about him. It says his arms, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Ah, friend, let that be our testimony. That when you are song leader, if it's just you leading songs, well, it's good, but it's no real blessing there. But when you're singing, and it's not just you that's singing, but it's the arms of the mighty God of Jacob. He's the one who's helping you to play your instrument. He's the one who's helping you when you get out on the street there. He's the one who helps you when you preach. He's the one who helps you when you pray. He's the one who helps you when you're dealing with the Sunday school, whatever. That's where the blessing comes from, friend, because that's just where Joseph's blessing came from. And you find people who could discern, they benefited from that. Potiphar, he quickly discerned that this isn't just a young man by himself. That's why Pharaoh said, can we find another man like this in whom the spirit of the living God dwells? Remember with Daniel as well, with Nebuchadnezzar, it was the same testimony. Now Potiphar, the greatest thing he ever did, the most successful thing he ever did, he discerned the hand of the mighty God of Jacob was upon this young man. Because whatever he does prospers. This isn't natural. And I say, I've had the guys doing all the landscaping, I've got all these gardeners in, I brought in the experts, they told me use the greatest fertilizer, they told me change the type of, mix this with the water that comes from the Nile if you want to get a good harvest. I could never get a good harvest. The moment this young man set his hand upon these things, it's done nothing but prosper. I've never had a harvest like this before. I've never had such a profit at the end of the year of my finances. That's what it says. It says the Lord prospered him. Amen. And he realized that the prosperity was because of Joseph. Remember Laban as well. Although Laban was that sort of a guy, liked to argue and fight a lot. But when Jacob left him, remember, Jacob, Laban came and said, please come back because I perceive that the blessing is because of you. Now, ever since you came, there's been a blessing in my things. You see, it's like your employer. They'll never give you exactly what you're worth until you threaten to leave. And then when you're about to leave now, they say, we're sorry. We'll give you an increase. And you don't have to work so many days. It's exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same kind of a thing, which Potiphar didn't make that mistake. And even the keeper of the prison, he discerned that this isn't just a young man. This isn't the arm of a young man, but this is the mighty arm of Jacob. There's something, this young man is strengthened, he's given a wisdom and a virtue. There's a certain something upon this young man that he's a blessing and what he touches is a blessing. Friend, that's a real powerful thing. I'll tell you what the prophet says about that. As we come to a close, he says in restoration of the bride tree, he says, think of that perfect tree. Imagine that tree which is planted by the rivers of living water. He says, David looked back at it and said, it's standing by the rivers of water. He brings forth his leaves in his season. And his fruit, it shall not be cast. It doesn't fall to the ground before its time. It won't wither. Whatsoever it doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he was the son of prosperity. Joseph was a type of him. Jesus, the tree of life. He was the antitype of Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, it prospered. That's how we always say it when you're at the offices. You don't have to preach the prosperity gospel.
Amen.
That's a Pentecostal gospel. A believer is blessed.
Amen.
The blessing is part of the covenant. You don't have to seek for the blessing. You don't have to pray for the blessing. You are blessed.
Amen.
That's what it says. When the Lord said to Abraham, separate yourself to the land, I will make you a blessing. And you shall be blessed, and all nations shall be blessed in you. It's just natural in the life of a believer, when your roots are in the source of blessing himself, that what you do is going to be blessed. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. Look at Joseph, the son of prosperity. Look at his trials. There has to be a balance. If God is blessing a person greatly on one hand, God has to balance it by allowing them to go through a lot of trials on the other hand, because his strength is only made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
That when we are weak, we are strong. When we think we're the source of the blessing, that's when he can't do anything with us. That's why he's got a lot of afflictions and frustrations and misunderstandings and unanswered prayer and all these things to come inside of our lives to keep us relying upon him. To keep us so that we realize, like Paul said, that no. Now I will rejoice in my infirmity. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because when I'm going through these things, I know the hand of Christ is upon me. And he can do things in and through my life that I could never dream of doing myself. You know, and that's why you find there's always this balance. Now, if you want to be greatly used of God, expect a lot of trouble, my friend.
Amen.
Expect a lot of things that other people aren't going to have to go through because you're a son or daughter of prosperity. That's your inheritance. That's what you are born unto. But stay faithful to it. You know, let's finish off. The prophet says, same thing with Jesus. His word. My word will prosper. Isaiah 55. And it won't return to me void. It will accomplish that which I purposed it for. You see, he was the word, Jesus. The word was sent to the earth, and it will accomplish exactly what God sent it for. Friend, the word will always prosper. So if you are the word made flesh, you have to prosper. If you're in the will of God, if we're in the will of God, friends, we have to prosper. There's got to be prosperity. You will have jobs that you're not qualified for. No, you will be given authority which other people more qualified than you are not given. It's just the way that it is. Because you have the son of prosperity, the mighty God of Jacob, the same one who strengthened Joseph and blessed him even in the midst of his trials. It's the same one that's with you as well. If you can just keep your root in the source. If you can just stay next to the well. Live as close to the well as you can. Don't get far away from the well. Then the things start to wither. But stay close to the well like Joseph did. He lived his whole life close to the well. That's why he was a blessing from his youth. He was a blessing in his middle age. And he was a blessing when he was old. There wasn't a time of Joseph's life that he wasn't a blessing. Wherever he went, he was a blessing. And friend, that is the testimony of a real believer who's walking in the Spirit. You'll be a blessing. He says in Masterpiece, he says, remember, he was the son of prosperity. Everything that he did prospered. And that's the same as you and me.
Amen.
Friend, I think of all the testimonies which we could have. But we're not like guys who get up here and blow the trumpet about them. Now, I think that's the problem with our church. We're too humble, you know. We are. But honestly, if you really sit down and you go and record the things the Lord has done for you, yeah, and for people, even in your work, in your family, how you would be the youngest of the children. I remember when I was the youngest child, but the people used to always look to me when the crisis came. When my dad was sick, my dad, some brother George knows, he so much relied upon me. Until in the end, I almost felt embarrassed. Because it's like I was the dad and he was almost the child. And I didn't like it like that because my dad, he was so worried about his health. But it's not you. There's a source of strength that you've got, which is because your roots have struck the source. And you're drawing now from that fountain. You're drawing from the well. And other people who don't have access to that, their lives can be tossed about a lot. And they'll discern inside of you that there's a stability. This is something when everybody else is panicking about, oh, we're all going to lose our jobs. You're not panicking about losing your job. Or even if you're all given your P45s up in Northern Ireland, when they say, adios amigo from your job, you're not worried. You're saying, he's going to take care of me. Only thing I need to do now, I need to get extra close to the well at this kind of a time inside of my life. So that's why the prophet says, remember, he was the son of prosperity. Everything that he did prospered. Whether it was in prison, or wherever it was, it came out right.
Amen.
And hasn't he promised for his children that he'll make everything work together for the good? So it doesn't mean you're not going to be falsely accused. Doesn't mean people aren't going to hate you. Doesn't mean your brother's sometimes going to evilly treat you. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be great temptation in the house of Potiphar. Doesn't mean you're going to sit an extra 2 years longer in prison than you expected. Because you pleaded with the butler and said, please, when the Lord delivers you from this place, according to the interpretation of the dream, remember me. And I can imagine that guy saying, how can I forget you? After all that you've done for me, my friend, I owe my life to you. I was about to give up. You and your God are so powerful. I'm going to testify to everybody about the power of your God. And then he closes the door, and that's the last time Joseph hears about it. And the Bible says he forgot about Joseph. And Joseph must have every day, imagine the expectation he had at that time, saying, surely any time now I'm getting out of here, that man's going to do something for me. And every time he'd hear the keys coming, a door being opened, he'd go and have a look. Hey, is that the butler? It's not, it's just a new prisoner. Okay, but I'm sure something will happen tomorrow. He must have gone for months like that, friends. And the Lord was teaching him a lesson. Never put your trust in the arm of flesh, according to the Bible. Never let man be your hope. Let the God, the mighty God of Jacob, the same one who strengthened you from the days of your youth, let your hope and your expectation remain in him. No matter how good a person may be, my friend, never put your hope and your trust in a person. Because the Bible says every brother will supplant. Everyone will let you down at some stage. But he'll never let you down. At the time that everybody lets you down, you're going to find he's just as faithful and even more faithful to you than at other times. And that was a lesson that he had to learn. But it was a hard lesson, just like we have to learn those lessons as well. So that's why the prophet says, whether it was sickness, whether it was the prison house, death, sorrows, whatever it was, it will work for the good to them that love him. He promised it, and it must be so. It's got to be there. Friend, I'm so glad I know the true son of prosperity. I'm so glad that greater than Jacob is here. And we know him. And he's called us, and he's redeemed us. He's the greatest blessing. And if you in him, you have to be blessed. It may seem for a season you're not being blessed because you're going to have to go through your trials like Joseph. But my friend, you just keep your root in the right place. You just keep drawing from that source. You just keep nursing from El Shaddai and see how it works out to a blessing in the end. A blessing above the rest of the people. It never fails. You find that God is faithful and he knows what he's doing. So when we come on Friday for our consecration and we come to seek the Lord, friends, we're already blessed. But we just wanted to draw closer to the Lord to say, Lord, help our church, help the branch to spread over the wall somewhere. And you yourself inside of your life to say, Lord, and whatever you want to use me for, let my branches spread out further. Now remember the prayer of Jabez when he says, oh, that you would enlarge my coasts. That you would just enlarge my borders. If you would just allow me to possess a greater portion of my inheritance, oh Lord. That's what you should be coming to seek the Lord for. That on our outreaches, when there's a house meeting in Carlo tomorrow, to say, Lord, extend the branches out further. Let more people benefit from the fruits. Let more people benefit now from the leaves and the fellowship. And when Brother Eddie goes back to ask, Lord, enlarge the course, enlarge the borders. And inside of our lives, friends, in your job, you have every right to expect God to do that for you. In his season, in his time. As long as he knows it's not going to make you proud and puffed up and you're going to stop coming to church, that's sometimes why he holds it back. But friend, as believers, we've learned it. You see it inside of your own life just as much. You have a lot of trials, a lot of things that you go through. But he is the God who blesses his people. He is the son of prosperity. And the prophet says, just get Jesus inside of you and see how even the desert starts to blossom like a rose. When our great sun of prosperity comes in the millennium, he's a far greater than Joseph. The deserts are going to bloom like a rose. The sin-cursed earth will go back to being a paradise. Imagine the prophet says that in this sin-cursed world, those spies could go across and bring back a cluster of grapes that took two men to carry. He says, imagine what it's going to be like when the son of prosperity himself comes back. When this earth becomes and starts to yield the way that it should. No more cursed as it was from Eden. That you have to sweat and toil. And even look at the goodness that we get from it, even with the curse upon it. But friends, if we can just stay in him, that's the hope. Just examine your route tonight as we close. And just say, Jesus, I just want to stay close to the well. I'm thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? We're singing the song, Fill My Cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Lord, renew me. Visit me once again. Revive me. Recharge me. As David would pray in Psalm 119, oh Lord, quicken me according to your word. Oh Lord, I'm afflicted. Quicken me, oh Lord. And friend, let the sun of prosperity bless you and your family. Bless you in your occupation. Bless us as a church. Bless us. We'll see it when we finish up. Maybe on Friday we'll continue on Joseph to see what his blessing was. The blessings of above. The blessings of the deep. And he was given such a blessing even to the blessing that would exceed the everlasting hills. It was a powerful blessing that was given to Joseph. But let's stand. Let's close in a word of prayer. And may the Lord bless you tonight. Oh, Father, we thank you for the life of Joseph. We thank you for your word. Father, where would we be without your word? Where would we be without this great source, Lord, that you, Father, have so saturated with your blessing in our age? And Father, we can come, Lord, unto this bread of life, and you break it unto us, and it, Lord, gives us, like you did to Elijah, it gives us strength for the journey. And Lord, we felt we couldn't go on anymore, but Father, you send the angel, and Father, he comes and prepares the bread. And Father, when we rest up, and you wake us up, and you feed us once again, Lord, it does something to our souls, and we appreciate that, Lord. Father, how faithful that you've been to us ever since the days of our youth. How many times, Lord, we couldn't see you and we thought that you had forgotten. Father, how many times you looked around, and Father, Lord, like Joseph, we try to put it in the hands of some person to fix our problems, Lord, and resolve the doors that didn't seem to want to open. But Lord, we've learned it with time that you know best. That, Father, all we need to do is just, Lord, get closer to the well and just take a fresh drink once again and just abide in you, and you will make everything work out to be a blessing. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of my brothers and sisters that have come out upon this night, Lord, the blessing of song worship, the blessing of a place to come, an oasis, that you can come in the midst of the week, Lord, to spend time with you. Oh, Father, won't you help us to grow now, Lord, thinking of the mothers at home with the children, thinking of them that haven't managed to come this night, stir them up, Lord, we pray. That, Lord, when we had, Lord, look unto you and want to consecrate ourselves up in you on Friday to seek, Lord, that you'd help us and show us the way that we should go. That, Father, you would bless us, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you would quicken us, Lord, in that day. Quicken us as we gather together, Lord, to move us higher. Father, to move us further, to take us deeper in the things of your kingdom. May you bless each house represented. Bless each home, Lord, you pray. Bless each young person, Lord, we ask, Father. Father, bless Brother Max, Sister Angel. Keep them, Lord, you pray. Bring them safely back. Father, Lord, them that haven't managed to come this night, Lord. Father, Lord, may you overshadow them at this time, Lord. And just give them a yearning once again to come back to the well of grace. And Lord, bless us as we go. May you watch over us, Lord. May you keep us in the road. Bring us safely to our houses in peace, Lord. Give us good rest upon this night. Help us in our cottages and our schools, and help us at work tomorrow. Help us in the home. Whatever we have to do, may, Father, the sun of prosperity, Lord, Father, be, Lord, revealed and magnified in and through us. Bless us as we depart, for we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing one, Brother Flood. Do you know that one? We keep coming back to the well of grace. Do you know that one, brother? I'm sure Brother George could help if you don't. We keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power. Sweet is its taste. Whenever temptations and trials are faced, we keep coming back to the well. And may God bless you as we dismiss.
with wings as he goes. Then shall Anna not be weary, then shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to obey. Teach me, Lord, to obey. Down on my knees, still in your own time, you answer my prayers. Teach me not to rely on others to. From you, may that faith upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as he goes. Shall run and not be buried. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Shall I?